Today, our text is found in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, and Philippians 4 and 5, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. First in Galatians, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this." And in Philippians, "Let your gentleness show in all your treatment of all people. The Lord is near." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me and for me? Oh God, open your word to us this day and remove any obstacles from our hearing and from our receiving. Amen. What are some things that you think of when you hear the word gentle? When you hear the word gentle, what comes to mind? A dove? I had a dove one time. It was one, actually my mom's, that when she and dad went to Kingsport to stay with my grandmother after she went completely blind, she couldn't have a cat there. My mom's a cat person. And so my brother connected her with someone else in the church at First Broad Street who raised doves. And so she ended up with a dove. Well, when Virgie died and she moved back home and she had the cat, I got the dove. And gentle is a good word to describe a dove. His cooing was so therapeutic and just calming and peaceful. And then he would get on my shoulder and just snuggle up to you. And he was just a gentle creature. Maybe you think of a butterfly floating through a nice soft breeze, which is also something gentle. The seeds of a dandelion, which we had on our screen and we had on our Facebook announcement about worship. Children love dandelions. Adults hate them because we see them as weeds. I've discovered rabbits love to eat them because even the seeds, they gobble down the seeds too. I watch the bunny in my yard eating the seeds off of the dandelion. But to see those seeds floating in the wind is gentleness. A feather, a cloud, a bunny rabbit, as I just mentioned. This time of year, we're seeing getting to the end of seeing the young ones, but a deer, a baby deer, a fawn. That image of gentleness. A kitten or a puppy. Until you get its claws or its teeth, and that's another matter. Y'all know I love dogs, and I love my Moqua. Moqua is my fourth Great Pyrenees. He's my fourth one. And I say, I'm owned by him. He really owns me. I do anything for that dog. I told somebody the other day that I really kind of, I feel guilty when I leave because I know he's almost, well, he is 10 and a quarter years old. And I know my time is limited with him. So I feel guilty when I leave because when he wakes up, the first thing he does is look for me to see where I am. I fell in love with the breed after my first Great Pyrenees, Maggie. And she was an alpha dog, so she had this streak was not always gentle, but for the most part, she was. But one of the traits I do love about the breed is that they are a gentle dog. They really are what sometimes people refer to them as gentle giants. Yona, my second Great Pyrenees, was probably the most gentle animal I have ever been owned by. When Greg and I got married, Greg had a golden retriever, and so by the time Yona came along, we got Yona after Maggie passed away, Brunswick was pretty old. And Yona, when he was playing with Brunswick, it's like he sensed that Brunswick couldn't play rough and tumble. So he would go and get his toys, and he would bring it and lay in front of Brunswick and try to get him to play tug. But he played so gently with him. And Yona took care of his toys. He never ripped his toys to pieces. Now, when Moqua came along, he destroyed all of Yona's toys, and I felt so bad. But Yona took care of his toys and played with them. He took treats gently. And then he even could snatch things off of Greg's knee before Greg even realized what had happened. Greg was one of these that would sit down. He would come in and he would get some crackers and a piece of bologna and some cheese out of the refrigerator, forget needing a paper towel or a napkin or a plate. He would sit down and put it on his knee and watch TV and just get engrossed with what was on TV. Yana would sit there with his chin on Greg's leg. And one day I watched as Greg was watching TV with the food on his knee, and Yana just very gently reached over and took the cheese and the bologna and the crackers, and that was all I could do to keep from laughing. And then Greg reached down to get his snack, and lo and behold, it was gone. Yona was that gentle. Gentleness is a trait we admire. When we see it in other creatures or other aspects of nature, it does make us go, aw, doesn't it? But when we see it in other people, like Krista shared this morning, it makes us stop and say, wow, wow. As she shared her experience today that she had the week before last on their mission trip, she shared with us a picture of true gentleness in this young man, a young man who I would say is wise beyond his years. And truly is in touch with the one who gives us that gentleness. Gentleness is one of the 9 attributes or manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit identified in Galatians by Paul. The Greek word for gentleness in this particular passage is praotes, and its meaning is closely related to meekness or humility. And it is sometimes described as an inward attitude. And so gentleness in this passage is referring to our being meek and humble, having that humble spirit. But meekness or humility is not always something that we have appreciated in others, and even in ourselves. Quite often we see it as a lack of confidence. Someone comes across as meek or humble, we feel like they don't have confidence in themselves. We see them as weak, or as being sometimes even apathetic, that they just don't care because they don't speak up for themselves. Honestly, though, I think just the opposite is true. One who is gentle, as Paul is defining in Galatians, is really one who is confident in who they are. One whose identity is in Christ. They're confident in the fact that their identity is in Christ. It's not in who they are by themselves. It's confidence in who Christ has made them as a new creation in Christ. They don't feel like they have anything to prove. They don't feel like they're there to make somebody believe or do or act as they see fit. And they're able to get themselves out of the way in order to make space for the other. One who is gentle is one who recognizes that power is not within themselves, but is a result of the indwelling of the Spirit within them, giving them wisdom, guidance, and intuitiveness about the other and what words or actions are needed. Think back to this young man that Krista described and how he acted with the woman that they had gone to serve. He got himself out of the way. He had nothing to prove. He knew she needed water, but it wasn't going to be of any good if he sat there and argued with her about needing water. And so he didn't take it as, I have to prove to you, you need water. He simply presented the opportunity and then let her, through the day, reflect on it. And then at the right time, with the Spirit's guidance, he asked some leading questions that made her realize, you know, maybe I could use some water. One who is gentle cares very much about what is happening. He wasn't apathetic. He is not immediately saying, no, I'm going to give you some water whether you want it or not. Wasn't being apathetic towards her. It was respecting who she was and where she was coming from in life and not wanting to make her feel like she was a project but rather that she was a human being with her own mind and own ability to make decisions. Gentleness truly is getting self out of the way so that through us the Spirit can work in our interactions with others, in what we say, and how we relate to them. Our brief passage in Philippians comes in a section of general instructions to the church on how to conduct themselves. It says, "Be glad in the Lord always." Again, I say be glad, or rejoice in the Lord always, we often read. "Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God and your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus." So this passage about gentleness comes in this kind of general instructions to the Philippian church on how to live as they relate to one another and as they relate to those around them. Paul wrote the letter to thank the church for their love and their financial support in his ministry. But it is evident in prior passages that the church, like all of the churches, was experiencing some hardships. Intimidation to conform to Jewish legalisms, individualism and self-centeredness. Thus the passage in the second chapter, let our minds be like the mind of Christ, uniting our minds together. Internal grumblings. We wouldn't know anything about that in the church, would we? We don't go through any of that, do we? Thus, these seemingly simple instructions were to encourage them to remember who they were and who they served. To remind them to let all of their actions reflect that their identity was in Christ. And then in that identity, the gentleness would prevail. The gentleness of which Paul spoke in Philippians 4:5 is a different Greek word than used in Galatians. The word here is epieikes. It's often defined as fairness, equitable, not insisting on the letter of the law. Not insisting on the letter of the law. Again, this young man, not insisting, well, you need water. Everybody needs water, so let me make sure you have water because that's just the way we live. It is a consideration about what is humane and reasonable. It reflects one's outward actions towards another. And this outward manifestation of gentleness is not possible without that internal attitude of gentleness that comes from being as one whose life is led by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to have both. But that internal attitude must be there for us to express that outward gentleness towards others. We see both the gentleness of attitude and gentleness of actions reflected in the life of Jesus, don't we? With the woman at the well, as Jesus is coming, and you met her a few months ago. But as she came to the well and began a conversation, Jesus' words were gentle with her. And he took time to get to know her and to love her and then to go into those questions that really caused her to think and to reflect for herself. With blind Bartimaeus and all of those that needed healing, what is it you want? What can I do for you? And listening to them and not condemning them for where they were, but hearing truly who they were. With a bleeding woman who was also unclean because of that, who touched the hem of his garment. Most religious leaders would have condemned her and scoffed at her and maybe even had her thrown into prison, but what did Jesus do? He stopped. He stopped in his tracks. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, but he stopped in his tracks and gave her his full attention. And then he says, "Daughter." This outcast all of a sudden became daughter. "Your faith has made you well." gentleness. I think he even exhibited gentleness with Judas. There at the table that night as they were sharing in the meal, he didn't look at Judas and say, "How dare you? How dare you betray me? How dare you go and sell me out?" Instead, he simply looked at Judas and, or he simply said, "The one who is dipping in the cup with me at this time, go and do what you must." The children, the disciples were wanting to shoo them away. "Get out of here. You're a nuisance." But Jesus says, "No, let them come to me." And I can picture Jesus sitting there with the children, either on the ground or sitting on a rock, and he pulls them up in his lap, and he begins to laugh with them and tell them stories. Wouldn't you love to hear the stories he told the kids that day? But the gentleness with which he spoke. With Martha in her frenzy as Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha is saying, "Lord, she's not helping me. I need to feed you guys, and I can't do all this by myself." He didn't rebuke her, did he? Instead, he simply said, "Martha, Martha, Mary's chosen the better thing. She's chosen the better." But he did it lovingly. And then with both Mary and Martha at Lazarus' death, weeping with them. With Mary Magdalene, with the woman who anointed his feet, with his disciples as he washed their feet, and with a thief on the cross who he said would be with him in paradise. Jesus was the epitome of gentleness. Even at those times where it was hard for him to be gentle, he tried to maintain restraint. Sometimes, yes, there were harsh words spoken. He was stern. But it was always, always to those who were oppressing the others, those who were making it hard, those who were casting aside. It was 9 times out of 10 for the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. For those who really should have known better. This is the kind of gentleness that can only happen when we get ourselves out of the way, folks. And that's hard for us to do, isn't it? Because we live in this dog-eat-dog world, and we're told we have to look out for number one. And Jesus is saying, "No, look out for number 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and on down the line. Let me take care of number one. Trust me. Trust me. You take care of others for me." It happens when we realize we don't have to be right. When we don't have to be right. When we can live with the ambiguity of not knowing if we're right or the other person's right, or wanting to make sure they believe as we do, but being able to live in that center of the two and to meet them where they are. It happens when we accept people for who they are at the moment and then allow the Spirit to walk with us beside them and to guide us. It happens when we can give up the need to control what is happening and become ourselves pliable and moldable for the settings and people to whom God is leading. Gentleness. Gentleness. Yes, there are times when we too must be outspoken and be stern. But like Jesus, it has to be at those times where we are called to come alongside those who are treated unjustly, those who are oppressed, those who are unseen and unheard, those who have almost become invisible to the rest of the world. We're called to be gentle. My favorite image of Jesus I think I have shared has always been that of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. That calendar picture that Mom put on my wall as an infant behind my baby bed that went with me to college until it finally just fell to pieces because it had been taped up and thumbtacked up so many times over 18, 20 years. But that image, of course, remained. And I have since had other pictures and items that reflect that. But I love that image because of the gentleness it reflects. Shepherds, too, have to be stern. They have to be cautious. They have to sometimes use their might and their force to protect their sheep. But a shepherd with its sheep will love them, will gently guide them and steer them. They will know the shepherd's name because the shepherd talks to them by name, calls them by name. They know the shepherd's voice because they hear the shepherd's voice. I can envision the shepherds singing to their sheep even. Gentleness. It's funny, on the way here this morning, as I was thinking about that image of Jesus as the good shepherd, it kind of hit me that that must be one of the reasons the Pyrenees has become my heart dog. I call it my heart dog. Because that's what they are bred for. They are bred to be a shepherd of the sheep. Not like your border collies that do all their magic stuff. If you've ever watched them, it's fascinating. But a Great Pyrenees will lay there gently, sleep, seemingly asleep, with sheep or goats or whatever they're tending to, bouncing all over them. And they never once try to stop them. They will stand between the sheep and whatever they feel is a danger or a threat. Only when necessary will they attack. Even in their way of guarding, they are gentle. One afternoon, when staff meeting last fall, we were going through a book and we were doing a talking circle, and Ramsey was guiding us through that. And we were in the fellowship hall so we could sit in a circle. And we had the doors to the fellowship hall and closed on all sides. And I had Mokwa there that day, and he had been kind of laying in the center of the circle, center of attention, as usual. And he heard something on the other side of the door going into the hallway to the preschool area. And of course, he stood up and immediately started barking because he couldn't see except for he saw feet or something moving at the bottom of it. And finally, that stopped, and he kind of settled down. But for the rest of the time we were in there, he was laying not in the center of the circle, but on my feet. You see, I'm his sheep. And so he was laying on my feet to protect me. But never once would have been a danger, just wanting to make sure I was okay. Gentle. Who are those people that today need to have someone treat them with gentleness? Maybe they're those that all they hear all day long is nothing but negative talk. And maybe it's their own self-negative talk. But they need to hear words of gentleness and love and grace. What situations are going on around us that they need someone with a gentle spirit to come and to be a part of that, to kind of help calm both sides of that situation so that healing and reconciliation can hopefully take place? Where do you need to go to help be that gentle presence in the world today? Whose anxiety is so high that they need you to just walk beside them, not even to say anything, but to just be with them, to let them know they're not alone. That gentle, calming presence. Gentleness. Let us be that gentle spirit for the world around us. Let God use us to be that gentle presence in the lives of those who are experiencing all kinds of turmoil. And may we experience God's gentle presence in our own lives through the presence of the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life. for his sheep. Let us pray. Gentle God, we confess that all too often our words are not spoken with gentleness, that we get frustrated when people don't seem to understand where we are or what we're doing or why we're doing or saying what we're saying or doing, that maybe they're not in a place where we wish they were in their lives. And so we speak and act sometimes in ways that are not gentle. And then we wonder why nothing changes. Lord, thank you for this young man that was an example of your witness before Krista and Mavis and Sarah. This young man who obviously has experienced gentleness himself through Jesus Christ, and who, through him, Jesus Christ showed up to this woman that day, speaking, acting with gentleness and love towards her. Lord, help us to hold our tongue when we need to. Help us to think carefully about our words and how we act. Help us to truly listen and to not be thinking ahead before we even hear what the other is saying. Help us to get ourselves out of the way, to truly be humble, so that we can act with fairness and for the good of the other. Lord, gentle our spirits this day, so that through us you may gentle the spirits of others who are anxious, afraid, scared, lonely, worried, unsure, desperate. Hear our prayers this day. Amen.